All right, very good. Can you all see that? If you want to take your Bible and turn over to Psalm 126, Psalm 126, it's pretty familiar, I think, probably to a church like this. And I want to thank Brother Esposito and all of our hosts that we've had this week, different folks that have taken good care of us, and we've been fed well. Actually, I was who said that? Okay. I was a little concerned, you know, because I had actually lost some weight before I came out here, and I thought, man, I'm going to California, and I bet I gain weight, you know. So I've tried really hard not to do that. So I've been fasting and praying for at least 10 minutes, and yeah. But anyway. What an exciting place! Good to see all you folks, and I wanna give you something today about a particular person in Baptist heritage and history. And I hope you don't mind using a PowerPoint like this. I think you use it in your church quite often to try to communicate things. But I want to communicate about this particular hero of the faith. His name is Isaac McCoy. And in Psalm 126 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." What a promise. What a promise this is. And let's pray. Have we prayed yet? No. Let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us, all right? Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for this place. We think of it often. And Lord, the testimony of this place has gone out in many, many places. These folks don't even realize how their influence has been great in little nooks and crannies and places in this country. We pray that you bless them this morning, Lord, and we're here to learn something, Lord. We're here to, Lord, to be motivated in a sense and to learn something. And, Lord, with this information, we pray you'd help us, Lord, to be diligent in trying to reach people for you, Lord, because it really is the most important thing. And we pray that you'd help us to understand it and learn the sacrifices that are necessary in order to bring people to Christ. Lord, I think many folks already know it, but I pray you'd remind us of these things and help us, Lord, to learn from this very principled person we're going to talk about this morning. And we ask you to help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 126 and verse number 6, where this is a soul winner's promise, even though it's tucked away in the Old Testament, it is still, of course, all about spreading the Word of God and getting the gospel to people. Now, I realize this is a Sunday school class. Maybe some of you folks are new here at Pacific Baptist Church. Maybe you don't even have your feet wet as far as handing out tracts. By the way, I got tracks in my pocket, buddy. I didn't want to be caught without a track around here because I didn't want anybody to say, "What's the matter with you? How come you don't have any tracks?" Well, I got them. And this is an invitation to my church. I've been giving it to people here in California. No, this actually is this is a track from your church. And I've been working on duplicating this very thing because I don't have any ideas. I just steal ideas from people. But anyway, that's a nifty little thing. I hope some of you folks will give these out. I hope you don't just take them and put them in your purse, and maybe you fellows put it in your purse. I hope that you go about, and because the Word of God is on these little cards, okay? They'd be useless without the Word of God, really. All they'd be is just some kind of cheap advertisement, but because they have the Word of God on here, what you're doing is you're planting seed as you go out. And this verse here, Psalm 126 and verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." What a promise it is. So we hand this to people, maybe a little tear in our eye, and say, "Boy, I wish you'd come." I mean, if you can't come, but at least read that, see what it says right here about salvation and eternal life. Would you at least read that?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It'd be good if the pastor got saved. But anyways, I mean, it's so hard to do this, so it's very difficult. You know, you got to reach in your pocket, and I mean, it's really hard. Brother, would you come up here? I got to show you how hard this is, because some of you think you think sewing is so hard, but here it is. Oh. Wow, that was hard. You can keep that. You ought to come to church on that day. Amen. That's Easter. Okay, all right. All right, then give it back then. Okay, all right. No, it's not a difficult thing. Thank you, brother. It's not a difficult thing to do. It really isn't. And with printing and so forth. Do you know that your Waldensian ancestors, I'm talking about these, your spiritual ancestors, the Waldensians, they printed up these little pieces of paper as well. They were one of the first people to actually hand out tracts. They actually were one of the first groups that we have a record of. And I'm sure that others did it even before them, dating all the way back to the 11th century, that they were printing just a portion of the Bible so they could keep it in their little knapsack. And would you like to know what portion of the Bible they printed and kept in their knapsack? The book of Romans. Now, I wonder why they kept the book of Romans in their knapsack. To go, I guess, you know, to go through the plan of salvation. Well, I don't guess it. I know that's why. So what they were doing was planting the seed of the Word of God. And that's what this verse is all about. And that's what this man up here, maybe some of you might be familiar with Isaac McCoy. I'm going to try to make him a familiar person to you today, because he's a very important person in American history, and he's important to the missionary efforts of Baptist people. We're so funny, you know, independent Baptist people, we hardly ever study ourselves. It's different here. You do study our own people here. But in many, many circles, it's amazing. When you think of a missionary in history, usually we think of a David Brainerd. We are fortunate that we think of Adoniram Judson because he's a tremendous Baptist preacher. And maybe we think of David Livingston and some others that are famous American missionaries. We very rarely think of Baptist people, but we should, because they share our principles. And this is a principled Baptist person who became a missionary to the American Indians early in the 19th century. He started his mission about 1820 or so. And I want to talk to you about some of his sacrifice and show you a little bit about his life. Now, I told the school this week, we talked just very briefly about Edward Whiteman, and I'm giving you this little bit of detail here because, you know, the way things used to be in Europe before there ever was in America was persecution for our Baptist forefathers because of what they believed about the baptism and the Lord's Supper. This is a depiction of Schubel Stearns, who we've been studying this week. That's a little drawing of him. We've been studying Schubel for the purpose of trying to teach the young people here a little bit about church planting. And this church really has already used the model at Monterey Park. And it's a blessing, isn't it, to be able to plant churches and see people saved. And you know, what an incredible thing. Now, this is Isaac McCoy is one of the later converts through the Separate Baptist Revival. He was saved in the state of Kentucky about the year 1810 or so. He's a third generation Separate Baptist. And he was somebody that rode with, by the way, here's the expansion of Sandy Creek, how they expanded out and brought the gospel throughout the South. Can I show you something right here? Because this is kind of an amazing thing. On the left-hand side, you see a lot of famous Christians, okay? You might be familiar with David Brainerd. Maybe you've heard of Charles Finney, D.L. Moody, Sam Jones, Gypsy Smith, J. Wilbur Chapman, and Billy Sunday, which most of our young people in our Baptist colleges learn about these folks. It's unfortunate that we don't learn about the ones on the right here, who are contemporaries with most of these famous people here on the left. None of these people are Baptist people. Now, I'm not trying to say that Baptist people are better. You know, that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, Baptist people aren't better. One piece of dirt's not better than another piece of dirt. But our principles are better. And if our principles aren't better, then go be a Methodist. Go be a Presbyterian. Okay, but if our principles are scriptural and they're correct, then we ought to understand them and know what we are. Amen. Okay, so here on the right we see these Isaac McCoy, who was a missionary to the American Indians. Jeremiah Vardaman preached at the same time Charles Finney preached. Jabez Swan preached at the same time D.L. Moody preached. Alfred Taylor. These are Baptist people on this side of the the thing here. And these are the men we don't ever talk about, and we don't ever study, but yet we should study these men because they were principled people, and they stayed with the Word of God. Do you believe the entire Scriptures are important? Well, of course you do. So then baptism, the Lord's Supper, regenerate church membership, all these things that we know are scriptural, then they must be important. And if they're important, if other groups are diminishing those things, then we need to stay true to our principles. It might be good if we studied a little bit about these people. Anyway, so let's look at Isaac McCoy. Isaac McCoy had ridden with George Rogers Clark during the early American Indian Wars in northern Indiana. And when he was riding with Clark, he realized the plight of the American Indians. And this is very early, 1810, 1812 and so forth. Right after the War of 1812, we had a campaign in what was called the Northwest Territory, which is modern-day Indiana. And as a young man, Isaac McCoy rode with George Rogers Clark. And while he was with Clark, he got a burden for these people. Now, when you fight somebody and fight with somebody, you think, well, boy, you hope every last one of them would die. But that was not the case with Isaac McCoy. He looked at these families, he looked at these Indians, he realized they were lost, and he asked God to help him, give him some wisdom to reach these people. and so he began this ministry to the American Indians. He's a missionary to the American Indians. And I got a little contrast up here. This is the grave of David Brainerd. I remember in college we learned all about David Brainerd. And here's Isaac McCoy here on the right. And it's amazing what God allowed Isaac McCoy to do. And it's amazing how much more for God he did than David Brainerd. You're going to ask yourself, why do we know all about David Brainerd? The problem, it's not a problem, but what happened was David Brainerd's future father-in-law was Jonathan Edwards. And Edwards released David Brainerd's diary after Brainerd died, and that's how he became so famous. But yet, we don't have any record of David Brainerd ever starting a church anywhere. Now, he preached, and he was a very consecrated servant of God. I'm not trying to say he wasn't a good person. He was a very good Christian, but he didn't share our principles. And I don't know of anybody he led to Christ. All I know is that he suffered for the cause of Christ. But I want you to see how the Lord used Isaac McCoy. All right? McCoy and his wife entered upon missionary work with all the zeal and strength of faith that characterized the life and labors of Judson. And their faith did not fail. This is a little depiction of the cabin that was built in southern Indiana, the very first church that Isaac McCoy started. He was in Kentucky, got converted. After the war, he thought about these Indian people. He went across the Ohio River into southern Indiana. And there's a reason why Indiana is called Indiana. It's called Indiana because it's where the Indians were, basically they were given that area to be their homeland, so they called it Indiana. And he went in there to preach the gospel to these Indians. He became an expert, if you please, on the Indian people. He studied them. He studied their culture. He spent time with them. And he began to write about the Indians. As a matter of fact, today, one of the best studies on American Indians is Isaac McCoy's book on the characteristics of the American Indian on the plains. It's a tremendous book, which he talks about the Potawas, he talks about the Pawnees and the Shawnees. He was very familiar with these people, and he was able to win some of them to Christ. Now, here's how he would win them to Christ. He would go in to the villages, and Indians, American Indians, are very nomadic people. They're very tribal, and they would move from place to place. They were on the move all the time, and he would go into a tribal area, and the first person he would talk to would be the chief. He didn't go on the fringes. He didn't try to work his way in, through the back door. He went right to the chief, and he began to talk to the chief from the very beginning, and he would talk to the chief about the Creator God. Now, you might know that the American Indians believe, and a lot of them believed in the Great Spirit, but it was kind of a, you know, a mundane, you know, the kind of a manila envelope, kind of, you know, just ambiguous or whatever. It just wasn't really clear on what they believed. But what McCoy would do is he would say, there's a creator. There's someone that made you. There's someone that cares about you. There's somebody that cares about your families. And so he began to get inroad with the Indian chiefs, and he won many Indian chiefs to Christ. Yes, he did. Well, I hate to say this about our government, but remember that government's a beast if you didn't get that from Wednesday or Thursday night. But our government wanted, it really began an extermination program on the American Indians. It really is true, folks. I hate to tell you this. McCoy saw what was going on. For instance, this really happened. I hate to say things like this. I don't want to indict my country. I hate that this is a part of our history. But our government literally sent blankets that had cholera in them to some of these tribes in an effort to see if they would contact the disease and die. And McCoy talks about this thing in his diary. And you see, when you care about somebody, you certainly care whether somebody's going to take their lives. And so he was a defender of these people. Amen? That's what he did. That's what he did. He began to win them to Christ. This is his wife, Christiana McCoy. Listen, these people were some of the most famous peoples in this part of America at the time. In fact, if you go to southern Michigan, there's a lake in southern Michigan called Lake Christiana, which is named for Christiana McCoy. And they lived a life of sacrifice. They lived a life of very meager means. Many times McCoy would write in his diary that they would spend the night by draping a blanket. Listen to this. They would drape a blanket over their horse and set up a little bit of a tent situation, and they would sleep underneath the blanket underneath the horse many, many times. Now, they had 13 children. That's a lot of McCoys. However, 11 of those 13 children died on the mission field. 11 out of 13. And they sacrificed a lot for the American Indians. All right? So the very first church of any type, any kind, in central Indiana was founded by Isaac McCoy in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This is a little depiction of the Fort Wayne area. The very first church, as I say, of any kind. And this church was an unusual church. It had white settlers that were coming across the prairie, and it had Indians in it. It was a multinational church, kind of reminds me of here. And all kinds of folks in this church preaching the gospel to every person as often as he could, using every available means that he could. What's he doing? He's sowing. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let me tell you something. You might be new in this church, or maybe you've been here for a while. If you haven't learned this thing of trying to get the gospel to people, you're missing out on the greatest blessing of your life. You know, you could make your life worth something if you would become a sower of seed. Amen. To get the word of God into people's lives. All right. Here's a little plaque from the First Baptist Church of Fort Wayne. It says, the first assembly of any faith or creed in the Fort Wayne area, organized by Reverend Isaac McCoy. I've been to this place and seen this plaque. Missionary to the Indians, the church was formally organized with 11 charter members. Amen? Started with 11 members in August of 1822. And this was the first church in central Indiana. And that was not the first church he planted, but it's the first one in that part of the country. The very first one was right over the Ohio River in a little place called Silver Bluff. And he begins this soul-winning ministry. Now, what is he doing? He's doing what his separate Baptist forefathers had handed to him. He's going out. He's reaching people for Christ. He's organizing them into churches. Okay? Amen. All right. Psalm 126, verse 6. We've looked at it already. But I want to... I want to give you a contrast. About this time, while this was going on in Indiana, Missouri, I'll show you these other states in just a minute, something was going on in California. About 1849, all you know, I'm sure you all from California now, you live in California, And you're aware, 1849, the gold rush, right? Well, there were some preachers that knew with this gold rush, there'd be an awful lot of people coming to California. And this is what people who sow seed, this is what they do. They think about stuff like that. They think, you know, people, listen, when you start getting a burden for people, you start thinking about, I wonder who lives over there. And I wonder who lives over there. And I wonder if anybody's ever told that guy about Christ. When you start thinking the right way, that's the way you think. You know, so 1849, everybody's going to come out to California. You think preachers are just going to sit on their hands? No, no. There was a man who came to California. His name was O.C. Wheeler. Are you familiar with O.C. Wheeler? Okay. O.C. Wheeler was the first Baptist missionary to California. And it's a heartbreaking story. He came out here. Now, in order to get to California, he was from New York. In order to get to California from New York, you had two choices. You could either come all the way across the country, okay? If you traveled across the country, it would take literally over a year to get all the way across the country. Or you could take the speedy route, which was to take a boat down to Panama, cross the Panama Isthmus of Panama, and catch a boat on the other side, and that would only take you 6 months, you know, to get to California. O.C. Wheeler had a burden for California. He wanted to get to the Golden Gate. He wanted to get to the San Francisco area because he'd heard so many people were going there. He was a preacher of the gospel, and he wanted to get out there and sow seed, amen? He wanted to get out there. So he did it. He came late in the year 1849, about the same time Isaac McCoy is doing his preaching, and Wheeler comes into this area, and he really doesn't do very well. You know, it's a very ungodly, you know, California, we know how godly and wonderful it is now. But at the time, you know, it was a den of thieves and awful people, right? I don't want to say that about your state. City Hall, right. But he had a very difficult time, you know, but he just spread the word of God everywhere. Pretty soon he had a little handful of people in San Francisco that he had led to Christ. He gathered them into a church. And then he wrote back home. Now listen to this. He wrote back home because the gospel was opening up to these people. Now listen, here's what happens whenever you preach the gospel to people. If you keep sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing, guess what happens? Things start growing. Amen. Did you know that a few years ago in New York City, this really happened. A few years ago in New York City, they discovered that there was a tree growing on top of the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, a tree was growing on top of the bridge. Now, how'd that tree get up on top of that bridge? The seed blew, and there was enough soot from the city for the seed to land in the soot and dirt and grit and grime. And guess what? It got rained on, and that seed grew, and nobody noticed it for a long time, and finally they noticed there's a tree on top of there. And, of course, the tree huggers were saying, please don't destroy the tree. It's a special tree. And it was a big controversy. But that's the way it is whenever you throw the seed out. Put the seed out over there. You know what? Guess what? Some of it might grow. But I guarantee you nothing will ever grow if you don't put any seed out. Nothing will grow. You say, what's going to happen? Well, nothing will happen if we don't sow the seed. So Wheeler came out to California, and then he writes for help. He wants an assistant. He needs help. So he writes the American Board, the old American Board of Missions, which was in Connecticut, and he asked for help. Now, here's what he wrote in his diary. Okay, this is one of those strange, strange doings. So bear with me as I try to read this. All right, listen to this. Our want, Wheeler says this, first missionary to California. Our want of laborers was not because they did not come to California, because between the 1st of April, 1849, and the 1st of August, 1850, I counted and registered 46 men, all wearing the vestments and claiming the character of Baptist ministers in good standing, who arrived at San Francisco and passed through to go to the mines. Did you catch it? 46 preachers came out, supposedly to try to win souls, but instead of trying to win souls and help this missionary, they went right to the gold mines. He says, not one of them would stay for a single day to aid me in rolling to the top of the hill the ball that seemed ready to fall back and crush me. Not an hour for the work of the master. It's amazing, isn't it? That's an amazing story. And I tell you what, things like that can be overcome by people that care. You know, if you care and you're a sower of seed, then things like that can be overcome. And maybe parts of California could get saved. Amen? That's the way it was. Now look at this. This is the area that Isaac McCoy preached. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 states. These are also the states in which he planted a church. Didn't have a car. He had a really good horse. It also, horsepower, and also doubled as his tent. But look at this, okay? You have Maria Creek Baptist Church, Silver Creek Baptist Church, Fort Wayne, the Carey Mission, which became a Baptist church, and on and on. These are 11 different churches starting in 8 different states. Now, that's not all the churches that he planted. Those are the first churches in each one of those states where he planted a church. Amen? I was preaching at a really large Baptist college. I don't do that much anymore. I don't know why. But anyway, it was a very large Baptist college, and I was talking about Isaac McCoy. And after I was finished, one of the students come. You know, the students were gathered around, and I was signing their Bibles and things like that. We were talking, and it was kind of kids were kind of pressed in. These young people kind of pressed in. And in the back of the crowd, there was a young man. He was waving a book in his hand, and he said, Hey, brother Bauer. He's getting closer. I'm thinking, what's he going to do, hit me with that book? And he gets up to me, and he opens his book, and he says, look at this. And it was an indictment on Isaac McCoy's ministry, saying that he was trying to herd the Indians into reservations, and what an awful person he was. I said, where'd you get this book? He said, this is a book we're using for missions here at the school. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, you know, it doesn't matter what our reputation is. It only matters what God knows about us. And listen, God knows if we're soul winners. God knows if we care. God knows if we care enough to sow a little seed. Amen? Here, read that. Read that while you're waiting. Hey, read this while you're waiting. Hey, read that. Hey, look at that. Look at this right here. Come on, that's better than what you're reading. Come on. Amen? I just handed out 3 tracts. You guys are afraid to pick them up. You need to pick those up. That's bothering me now. It's on the floor. Could you guys pick that up? And one of you guys pick those up. There you go. I succeeded. And I succeeded again. And I succeeded 3 times. Amen. Now, you're not gonna start 11 churches in 11 states and be the first person there unless you are a sower of seed. Here's a here's a home. Actually, it's an orphanage in central Oklahoma. It's named for Isaac McCoy. I was speaking on this in a church one time, and I said, here's this orphanage. After the service, this kid came up to me and said, I stayed in that orphanage. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. He said, I thought Isaac McCoy was some governor or something. I said, no, he was a preacher of the gospel. Amen. And there's been books written about Isaac McCoy, and then there's this incident. And I guess I'll close with this, because we got to quit, don't we? Okay, all right. Let me just close with this. This is a statue in Northwest Indiana. It's about a half an hour from where I went to college. And this is a statue to an Indian chief named Menominee. In fact, I mean, there's a couple of cities in Wisconsin. One in Wisconsin, one I think is in Michigan named for Menominee. One of them is Menominee Falls and so forth. This is a very famous Indian chief. Now, the story of Menominee is that the Indians, they gave the Indians alcohol because they truly could not handle their alcohol. They could not. And when they would drink alcohol, this is true of everybody, not just them, when they would drink the alcohol, they would lose control and they would hurt their own families. They would kill their own families. And this is what happens when you get drunk. And so they gave them this alcohol on purpose. And Menominee was an Indian chief of the Potawa tribe. And he realized there's something wrong with the Indian people. They need help. But he didn't know what to tell them. And so he gathered a large group, over 10,000 braves, together in northern Indiana. Listen to this. And he's trying to help them spiritually. One day, one of the braves came to him and said, Chief, there is a white man who comes to talk to the Indians. And when he talks to them, some of them stop drinking fire water. I don't know why they stop drinking fire water, but some of them do. And Menominee said, we need to get him come to speak to us. And so 10,000 Indians call this preacher to northern Indiana to begin a soul-winning campaign among these Potawas and Pawnees. It's very difficult work because most of them are what we would call alcoholics now. And he's preaching the gospel. So he starts to send letters to Columbian College, which used to be a Baptist college. And he's writing these letters, and he said, would you please send somebody to help me? And of course, I have to tell you how it went? They didn't send anybody. And for a long, long time, he's dealing with these people, and he was able to win a few of them to Christ, but finally they lost interest, and they began to sort of disappear in that part of the country. And McCoy wrote a letter back to Columbian College, and he said, we cannot presently be excused of our criminal neglect. We're allowing Menominee and his party to leave without the gospel. Well, let's not be guilty of criminal neglect for this area. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's the life of Isaac McCoy. Thank you, brother.